WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Iran launched missiles aimed at a key U.S. base in Qatar today in response to the U.S. strikes on three nuclear facilities in Iran this weekend. The U.S. and Qatar intercepted today's missiles. In a social media post, President Trump says it's time for a de-escalation.
President Trump calls Iran's strike on Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar, quote, very weak and very effectively countered, and said Iran gave the U.S. early notice of the strike. The president writes in a social media post that no Americans were injured, adding, quote, hardly any damage was done. Mr. Trump says in his post that Iran has gotten it all out of their system, writing, there will hopefully be no further hate. The president on Saturday night signaled future attacks against Iran if it retaliated. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Iran, after it launched the missile, says it will carry out its nuclear program and will not surrender. This is ABC News.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Development of a new tool designed to detect wildfires at the University of Wisconsin-Madison could face delays due to federal funding cuts. According to a WPR report, the next-generation fire system uses artificial intelligence and real-time satellite images to track the spread of wildfires. Officials say the funding delays are the result of a review of National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration contracts by the Trump administration. The federal agency partnered with the Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies at UW-Madison to develop the tool. With just days to go until the deadline to approve a new biennial budget, Republicans in the state Senate don't appear to be in agreement on a plan. A new biennial budget must be signed by July 1st, or spending levels will remain the same as they were under the last biennial budget. Some Republicans, like State Senator Chris Kapenga of Waukesha, say they may be better off with the old budget to avoid giving Governor Tony Evers a chance to use his partial veto power. Governor Evers previously used the partial veto to increase school funding for 400 years. The Blue Hills Sportsmen's Club and Accessibility Wisconsin will be holding a trap shooting fundraiser this weekend in honor of two Northwest Wisconsin police officers who were killed in the line of duty. The Fallen Hero Memorial Trap Shoot will be held on Saturday at the Blue Hills Sportsmen's Club in Rice Lake. An opening ceremony will be held at 11:30 a.m. honoring officers Emily Breidenbach and Hunter Scheel. More information is available online, and the proceeds will go to the Concerns of Police Survivors and the Wisconsin Law Enforcement Death Response Team. A groundbreaking ceremony for a new library building in Cable is scheduled for this weekend. Forest Lodge Library is inviting area residents to celebrate the groundbreaking at the Highway M site on Saturday at 11 a.m. The organization received $1.8 million in funding from the Flexible Facility Grant Program and community donations for the expansion. The library currently has about 1,000 square feet of space. Officials say they've been using a nearby church to store some of their collection, which staff walk to multiple times each day. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers are back home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers and Pittsburgh Pirates beginning a three-game series at American Family Field tonight. The Brewers went from a 9-3 lead over the Twins yesterday to a 9-8 win thanks to closer Trevor McGill, manager Pat Murphy.
When leverage guys come in with a big margin, sometimes things are different. That's kind of the story of that. But they held it together, and McGill was terrific. You know, McGill was terrific.
NBA, Kevin Durant traded to the Houston Rockets in a blockbuster deal with the Phoenix Suns. The Oklahoma City Thunder, 103-91, to win their first NBA title. The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton suffering a torn Achilles in the first quarter. Racing, Alex Palou winning the XPEL Grand Prix at Road America on a very hot day at Elkhart Lake.
It was a crazy race. It was a crazy race for us. At moments, I thought we were losing a ton of positions, and we were making. It was a tough race for everybody.
That's Indy driver Alex Palou with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, then partly cloudy and a low in the upper 50s tonight. Partly sunny for tomorrow, highs in the upper 70s. More storms possible late Tuesday night into Wednesday. High temps into the mid-70s. More rain is ahead as we look on into Thursday. Currently at 77.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe here in Madison on WMDX about University of Wisconsin system, the legislature looking at cutting $87 million of that.
First off, you deserve incredible kudos for bringing this issue forward.
You're too kind. Thank you.
You led the way, and you've been keeping at this question of the two-year campuses and what does the system mean throughout the time that you've been on radio, and we really appreciate it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll have on Alex Modorsky of the Nature Conservancy talking about the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Project and conservation around the state. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
That is what our framers intended, and I don't care if it's your team winning today, it won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Are you kidding me?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I think that speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Hope your Monday is wrapping up well across the state of Wisconsin and beyond. And I hope your AC is pumping if you're here in the Midwest. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got Matt Rothschild with me in the co-host chair this afternoon. Always happy to have Matt. He is the creator and host himself of Wisconsin Forward, a podcast you can find at civicmedia.us. On Apple Pods and Spotify, wherever you like to get your best podcasts. We've got some breaking news this afternoon. Democratic Governor Tony Evers has apparently drawn a line, and he's now drawing it publicly. Reporting by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel indicates that the governor has stated that he will not sign any budget put before him from the MAGA regime here in the state if it does not include continued funding for child care counts. Child care counts was a program created during the COVID era to help ensure that child care remained somewhat available and somewhat affordable as people tried to return to work. Some estimates place the loss of child care centers in the state at upwards of 30% if the MAGA regime, led by, of course, Robin Voss's, cuts to child care funding go through in the Republican-proposed state's biennial budget. In some rural counties, Kids Forward and other organizations here in the state of Wisconsin put those numbers at upwards of 50%. It is already more costly than a University of Wisconsin university annual tuition to put a kid in childcare in this state. Matt, before we return and open up the phone lines about the situation that is evolving in Iran, we had to share this news. This is incredible. Here's what Tony Evers had to say. Quote, "It is necessary for people to understand, the Republicans especially, how important this is," meaning childcare, "for the state of Wisconsin. The cuts are going to hurt not only kids, but our entire economy." The governor made these comments to reporters today, this afternoon, after touring Bright Horizons in Pewaukee, after stopping at another childcare center in Eau Claire earlier in the day. Evers ended by urging Republicans to, quote, "get their act together and come back. Let's finish it up." We will have child care providers joining me this Thursday at 5 p.m. That is child care providers, the people doing this economy supporting, family supporting essential work here in Wisconsin, joining me on Thursday at 5 p.m. Matt, I just wanted to get your reactions. Good on Governor Evers. That's my take.
Yeah, I like to see Tony getting a spine here and threatening to veto the whole budget. A bunch of progressive groups called on him to veto the whole budget if this and other provisions like more spending for public schools, more spending for the universities. More spending on health care. Yes, he has a powerful veto pen, but the most powerful aspect of the veto pen would be to veto the whole sucker. So, look, he may be in his last term. He may not be running. We don't know. But I commend him for taking a tough stance here. I remember interviewing on civic media a child care provider from New Glarus, child care activist, and she was saying, you know, some of her fellow child care providers are already with this threat, having to think about closing their doors. So it would be a disaster for the child care providers, a disaster for parents, and a disaster for kids right here in Wisconsin.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Do you think the governor should not do the Vanna White veto, not line item veto, but veto the whole sucker if Republicans can't get the absolute basics right, which is affordable child care, investments in public education, and investments in higher education in our public university system to ensure that every family that has a kid that wants to go to university in this state can afford to do so? 855-752-4842. This is one of those things, Matt, that it makes me about as angry as I can get because it is so short-sighted. It is so blind to the pain that this will cause. And there is absolutely no, well, alternatively, let's do this that would be functional. And when that is coupled with what I see from the national sphere as this equally ostrich with head in sand approach to how families actually function, the J.D. Vance of it all, the proto-natalist, you know, Sean Duffy and my nine kids, go have a bunch of kids. I'm sure you'll make scads of hundreds of thousands of dollars and or have retired parents. That this isn't how it works for real working families. And the callousness with which that is addressed, both on the national level by the MAGA regime led by Donald Trump and here in Wisconsin, the MAGA regime led by Robin Voss, is unconscionable. It will do such harm to our economy. You want to be pro-business? Then you're pro-affordable child care. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Cam from Appleton, say it to Matt, what you got for us?
Hey, Matt. Hey, Maggie. I remember hearing, I don't remember if it was your show or another's that I had heard it, but that the Republicans or GOP was trying to use AI to reword the bill so then it wouldn't allow for any of the number items to be in numbers. So like $10 would be spelled out instead of using numbers. Mm. And it made me wonder, because I understand, I've actually really read into how his special veto tool could work, because I'm not actually from Wisconsin myself. And when I moved here and I heard about it, I was like, what are you talking about? It sounds like a game. And I read into it so hard, and I've studied it, and man, it is sweet. But I did remember the part where they lost the ability for like the Vanna White veto tool that he had. And I thought, well, if AI can be doing this for the GOP, is there a way for AI to figure out a way that he could get it back? And one of the ideas that it had was that the wording of the thing that people voted on,
yes,
back in the day was worded in such a way that it would have been confusing to the general population. And at that point, it can circumvent the legislator and allow the Supreme Court to revoke it.
Mm. Interesting. The idea that AI is going to start writing our legislation, I'm not a big fan of, gotta say. Matt, your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, the line item veto is still very powerful, and it's still possible, and I think it's too powerful, actually. But look, right now, the governor has the ability to cross out a word or a couple words in a sentence to totally change the meaning of that sentence and actually kind of make legislation on his own. And so It's still a powerful tool. As an old editor, I would love that opportunity. Yeah. But
I've generally hated this, Matt. I've always thought this can't possibly be how this is supposed to work, because it devolves into gamesmanship. And I don't.
It's an absurd power.
Right? Like, I never want the rule of decision about any public policy issue to be, well, like, oh, it's good now because my team won that one. And it's like, no, we should decide how stuff should work optimally, regardless of who is in power. And that should be the set of rules that bind all governors, right? Of course, the MAGA regime here, led by Robin Voss, never does that. They like to change the rules all the time, as they did with the governor's powers, with the attorney general's powers, and the attorney general just won that lawsuit.
Yeah, oh, won that
yay,
big.
About a week ago. You know, the rules should be the same no matter who is running or who is the incumbent. That should be our baseline. Mark from Prairie du Sac, say hello to Matt. What you got for us this afternoon, sir?
Hey, Matt. Yes, I'd posit for the whole thing, they're putting the nonsense of writing numbers out, that because you're...
Mark, I'm going to put you on hold. Remember, my friend, to turn down your radio before you get on the radio, because otherwise we get some weird feedback. I'm going to give Mark just a second to do that. 855-752-4842. Breaking news this afternoon. Governor Tony Evers threatening to veto the entire budget unless state Republicans, the MAGA regime led by Robin Voss and Devin Lemahieu, restore the child care funding in a program called Child Care Counts. Again, I would like to know what the alternative plan is from Robin Voss and Lemahieu and the rest of the MAGA regime. What are you going to do when already hard to find child care is gone in Rock County, right? In Eau Claire County. And if you actually can find a slot, you can't afford it. That with two parents working, it is going to break the backs of so many people. What's going to happen to the open manufacturing jobs? I read a headline today saying there's hundreds of thousands of potential manufacturing jobs that can't get filled in this state. You think that's going to get better or worse? And by the way, across the country, better or worse if we don't have affordable child care, affordable and available. Let's see if Mark's got his radio turned out. Try it again, Mark. Here you go.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I'd posit that because the Republicans are trying to pull this nonsense, that Evers could say, well, this is the numbers that the governor can still change, can still manipulate the numbers in the budget. So you could just put down verbally, you know, do the same thing with, replace the number as he wanted to, writing it out as the nonsense the Republicans are kind of trying to do. My guess is that the Supreme Court would probably strike it down, saying the Republicans can't do it like that because, you know, what if we switch to Roman numerals, for goodness sakes?
Right. Like the reductio ad absurdum, which I think you reduce it to an absurdity. That's just the fancy Latin, and I probably butchered the pronunciation because nobody takes Latin anymore unless you really love languages. Mark also pointed out on the text line that Robin Voss may not be totally cued into the challenges of obtaining child care, given that he doesn't have any kids and he's on marriage number 4, I think, at last count. Folks, we've got quite the debate that we're going to kick off. I wanted to give due time to this late breaking news this afternoon. Good on Tony Evers. I say, hear, hear, sir. It is time, especially, Matt, I'll say this. If you know you're not running, or it's probably more likely than not, then put on your brass knuckles and let's box some politics out. Metaphorically speaking, of course, you know, get hard on some things, harden up the approach from Evers' side of the debate over the biennial budget. I think there are those at least three issues that he could draw a very, very stark line on: education funding, both K-12 and university, as well as childcare. What do you think? Should he actually make good on this threat to veto the budget, Matt? What's your take if this money isn't there?
Yeah, I would like to see a veto if Voss and Lemieux don't come around. They've got to really not act like they're still in control, because they're not.
What I don't want to see happen is the credit taking You know, if they cave, I hope Tony Evers plasters it all over the skies that I made him fund child care. They didn't do it. I made him do it. When we come back, we're going to dive into the conflict with Iran. Did the president have legal authority to do this? What does it matter to Wisconsin families? Do you have a son or daughter that is deployed overseas? Are you concerned about their safety? What about cyber threats here at home? All of that coming up. 855-752-4842. That's 855-CIVIC. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Everybody, there's a ceasefire apparently between Israel and Iran, except within minutes of Donald Trump posting that to his Truth Social account, Israel launched a few more missiles at Tehran. Details, but the president moments ago on Truth Social announcing, congratulations, everybody, we have a ceasefire. He also has said a lot of other things that are untrue and internally conflicting. For example, Donald Trump over the last, 24-ish, 30 hours, not 24, 30 hours, it was just with respect to the Iranian bombing of the U.S. base Al Udeid in Qatar, said that there were 14 missiles. Then he said there were 19. Anyways, I don't know if there's a ceasefire. We'll continue to keep you posted on the breaking news this hour. My name is Maggie Dawn. This, of course, is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. On Mondays, I have a great co-host. His name is Matt Rothschild. He hosts Wisconsin Forward, a podcast that you can find on our website, civicmedia.us, at Apple Pods and Spotify. Matt, we had Elon Berman of the American Foreign Policy Council for the first half hour, and our incredible production folks here on the Maggie Don Show pulled together a couple of highlight clips for us to help kick off our discussion this afternoon. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Are you worried about escalation? What is the next step? How concerned are you about Iranian cyber attacks? Most importantly, if you have children or family members that are deployed in the Mideast, are you concerned for their safety? What comes next? That's what I want to know. 855-752-4842. Let's take a listen to the first clip from Elon Berman earlier on this program from the American Foreign Policy Council.
So, okay, so this is where sort of political practice and standards intersect with sort of with imminence and with the reality of politics, right? Because let's be clear, had Congress been notified, the news of this would have leaked, right? This is sort of the system that we're
well. Then why tell Congress anything, right? They use skiffs.
No. Look, Congress has the ability and the constitutional duty to if this becomes a protracted conflict, right? Congress holds the power of the purse. They have the right to to bless it with the power of the purse, right? However, if you go back and you look at, say, the Obama administration, right, I can count on the fingers of one hand, right, the number of times, right, there was Pakistan, there was, the strike against bin Laden, all that stuff. All that stuff included episodes that did not involve prior notification for Congress, because sometimes surprise is necessary. So to me, it's not this one moment where Congress was not notified beforehand. It's how we proceed from here, what the balance is between the legislative and executive branches.
Chopping it up a little bit with our expert there. Who needs Congress? I found a little problematic.
I mean, it's not just the power of the purse that Congress has. Yeah. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gives Congress the sole power to declare war. And going to bomb another country is clearly an act of war. So that's why I vehemently oppose what Trump has done here. This was a violation of the U.S. Constitution. It was a violation of the U.N. Charter, which says you can't go attack another country. There is a self-defense clause, but that is, if you're going to be attacked like tomorrow, you can do some self-defense preemption. This wasn't preemption on the part of the United States. Iran wasn't going to attack the United States. It's not that crazy. And so this was an illegal, unconstitutional act of war by President Trump. And, I'm just so sick of all these presidents, one after another, taking unilateral action. Ronald Reagan invaded Grenada. George H.W. Bush invaded Panama. Bill Clinton bombed Serbia. George W. Bush invaded Iraq when Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Barack Obama bombed Libya. Biden bombed the Houthis. I mean, what gives these guys the right? I mean, James Madison told us 200 years ago to give the president the sole authority to declare war would be too much power for one man to have, too much temptation for one man to have.
855-752-4842. Do you agree with Matt? Here, this is, the juxtaposition is the Article 1 war power, right? Again, Congress. That gets juxtaposed and has who knows what it all means with Article 2 and the concept of the commander-in-chief, right? And here is where I think we have found ourselves on the slippery slope of slippery slopes. And that is, if a president, without even notification to members of the intelligence committees of both chambers of Congress, can launch a significant missile attack with these I forget what the technical term is. I have it here somewhere. But these underground penetrating ordnance that weigh tens of thousands of pounds, that they can mobilize tens of thousands of troops in that arena and not even notify Congress, when what the president has been saying has changed drastically over the last 2 weeks, even. It went from, this is Israel's thing. We're not part of this. Then it went to, we're going to be the ones that broker peace. They had a meeting scheduled, for crying out loud. Then it was, well, maybe we're not doing that, and Iran's not a good faith actor, to, okay, we're bombing them, but just bombing them, to Donald Trump then tweeting about regime change. We've got to talk about all of that. We're going to review some of the constitutional precedents that Matt has mentioned. Are we on the slippery slope of slippery slopes in the post 9/11 world, both Democrats and Republicans, using the military without congressional approval? Should we continue this way or not? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is accepting applications for another round of Resilient Food Systems Infrastructure Grants. It's the second round of grant awards through the program, which seeks to expand capacity and infrastructure for the distribution of locally produced food products. Funding for the grant program is provided by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and applications must be submitted by 5 p.m. on July 21st. Previous RFSI grant recipients are not eligible for this round of funding awards. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is assuring residents that hospitals are required to provide life-saving abortion care when necessary. The reassurance comes following a statement by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services that rescinds previous guidance on enforcing the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, or EMTALA. According to a press release from DHS Secretary Kirsten Johnson, the update to federal guidance will not change the requirement in Wisconsin, and hospitals are still obligated to offer necessary emergency care. The Hayward Public School District has officially announced the selection of a new superintendent. Last week, the school board announced Mark Berquist will serve as the new superintendent beginning on July 1st. School board officials say Berquist has over 20 years of experience in the district, including experience as a teacher, a coach, and an assistant principal. In a statement, he said he plans to focus on enhancing programs and community partnerships. He also plans to work on balancing the district's budget, an increasingly common issue in schools across the state. A Balsam Lake man has officially been charged a year after his wife was killed in a UTV crash in Polk County. According to court documents, 55-year-old Frank Stewart is now charged with homicide by negligent operation of a motor vehicle. His wife's death was originally described as the result of a fall, but a doctor at St. Croix Regional Medical Center told authorities the woman's injuries were inconsistent with a fall. A subsequent investigation led to conflicting accounts of the incident, and Stewart allegedly confessed to the true circumstances of the crash. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Believe it or not, Hollywood is making a sequel. In this case, it is the fourth in a series of Meet the Parents films. The Hollywood Reporter says Owen Wilson has officially signed on to the project, joining Ben Stiller, Robert De Niro, Terry Polo, and newcomer to the cast, Ariana Grande. It's always nice to have a fresh face. Paramount Pictures is teaming up with Universal for the latest installment, which is co-written by John Hamburg, who also co-wrote the previous three films and will direct this new chapter. If you listen to Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network, you've probably heard me talk about this franchise quite a bit, as it was started by frequent guest and writer Greg Liana, whose $50,000 independent film ended up at Universal Studios and is now one of the highest-grossing live-action comedy franchises ever. Meet the Parents is expected to hit theaters Thanksgiving of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, then partly cloudy and a low in the upper 50s tonight. Partly sunny for tomorrow, highs in the upper 70s. More storms possible late Tuesday night into Wednesday. High temps into the mid-70s. More rain is ahead as we look on into Thursday. Currently at 77.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Yeah, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, do we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area has an update on what's happening in the Capitol, and Chad Holmes on stories around the Wausau area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got my friend and Monday guest co-host Matt Rothschild with me. He hosts the podcast Wisconsin Forward. Breaking news this half hour, Donald Trump announcing that a ceasefire has been reached. Here is what the president posted on Truth Social. Congratulations to everyone. It has been fully agreed by and between Israel and Iran that there will be a complete and total ceasefire in approximately 6 hours from now when Israel and Iran have wound down and completed their in-progress final missions for 12 hours, at which point the war will be considered ended. Officially, Iran will start the ceasefire, and upon the 12th hour, Israel will start the ceasefire, and upon the 24th hour, an official end to the 12-day war will be saluted by the world. During each ceasefire, the other side will remain peaceful and respectful. On the assumption that everything works as it should, which it will, I would like to congratulate both countries, Israel and Iran, on having the stamina, courage, and intelligence to end what should be called the 12-day war. This is a war that could have gone on for years and destroyed the entire Middle East, but it didn't, and never will. God bless Israel. God bless Iran. God bless the Middle East. God bless the United States of America, and God bless the world. I like responding to that is challenging because it's odd, to say the least. I mean, Iran has pledged as one of its nation's objectives to remove Israel from the face of the planet. They might have a ceasefire, but that conflict isn't over by any stretch. Matt, your thoughts on the president's Truth Social post?
Well, and it also may be naive to think that Iran is not going to retaliate down the road against the United States or against Israel for what's happened in the last several days. I also think, aside from being illegal under U.S. law against the Constitution of the United States and against the U.N. Charter, this bombing by Trump looks bad because it looks like Benjamin Netanyahu has been dragging Trump around by his nose. And Benjamin Netanyahu, to the whole Arab and Muslim world and to people who have been paying close attention, is a war criminal. I mean, he has been engaging in genocide against the Palestinian people of Gaza now for months and months and months and months. And for Trump to be bragging, as he did earlier in the last 48 hours, about how great the United States was cooperating with Israel in this attack, that's not good for the United States.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. the complexities here aside, Israel always is under existential threat. A nuclear Iran is not something that the world wants or that the United States wants. And yet the question is perhaps never about where we should end up, but it is a question about the means to the end. And the means should matter always deeply to the United States. And of course, the question has to be asked, given the manner in which Donald Trump has handled this entire evolving situation over the last week, where in one breath, it's not, you know, we're not getting involved at all. And now, dot, 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 few days later, he's again posting about regime change. The question has to be asked. What about the coordination and the readiness of American agencies for this sort of military intervention? What do I mean by that? Iran has significant cyber attack capabilities. Our intelligence agencies believe that they have sleeper cells, right? So typically when you will engage in this way, when you will fire bombs into a sovereign nation, right, you have alerted and effectively we have hardened our infrastructure, hardened our cybersecurity alerts that people are ready for this when that is not present here. I'm not talking about things, you know, in the general public. I'm talking about secure channel communications to critical U.S. agencies to prepare them for this sort of attack because Iran always pledges retaliation. They have done so here. The language from Iran this afternoon has been not one of concession. Again, what happens next? That is the question. If this proves to be a disarmament that Iran's nuclear capabilities are essentially zero, the world will be safer, but the means always matters. The means always deeply matters. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Joe from Madison, go ahead, say hello to Matt.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for bringing up the fact that Iranians are quite skilled at cyber attacks, which is, that's the next generation of warfare. I mean, the bombs are, we don't know what damage the bombs did. We just don't know. I mean, you don't know immediately, and we sure don't know through this administration whether things worked or not. Some stories were that they were able to get some of their material away and buried away in another site. Who knows at this point? And now yet again, we are in the situation of who knows with this, our head spinning and thinking, oh God, what's next? I would just encourage people to take a look at an article in The Atlantic. It is by one of the most conservative people on the planet, Robert Kagan. It's K-A-G-E-A-N. And the title of it is American Democracy Might Not Survive a War with Iran. I think it's not just a war with Iran. I mean, he's also threatening to go into Greenland. He's also still threatening Canada. We are not done with these hijinks and shenanigans. And I really don't think that we're done with Iran just because Trump announced a ceasefire. Why would you let that go? There has to be something that occurs out of this, not just a ceasefire. There has to be some sort of treaties. And then we're back to the fact that there were treaties long ago that Iran was abiding by and was not engaging in building up its nuclear weapons program. And Trump was the one who tore that up.
Thanks, Joe, from Madison. A couple of corrections there. I believe that the team of United Nations nuclear inspectors just 2 weeks ago said that Iran was not complying with some of their agreements. Listen, I'm never going to make an argument that Iran is a good faith actor, that Iran was fully complying with these treaties. The question is always about the means. Again, not the end. Our friend Conservative Bob posting on the text lines, Iran has blood on their hands. Stopping them is my top priority, said candidate Kamala Harris. Yeah. But again, the point is the how. That is the discussion. The role of Congress. Why do we require congressional approval for the declaration of war against a sovereign nation? Because we want American people to be able to debate that, to call their representatives. That's what that means. As far as I've ever seen, there's no such thing as a drive-by bombing. that it just doesn't work that way. And it's been less than, 36 hours. We have yet to see the full scale of Iran's response, in my opinion. We'll see what happens next. CJ, my friend, how are you? Hope you're staying cool. Say hello to Matt. What's your thought this afternoon, sir?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, CJ, long time.
Thank you for taking my call to you both. Been a while. Well, you warn of sleeper cells. Well, I just want to point out that 1,504 Iranian nationals showed up at the border, and Biden released half of them into the country.
Who, and can you give me a cite for it, CJ? Because I think, it matters, the fact-checking here, man.
Border Patrol.
CBP.
Customs and Border Patrol.
If you don't mind, CJ, when we get off, mind just dropping the link into the chat. I think that that's important. Sleeper cells are a writ large problem. I mean, this is one of the
Trump
concerns.
Believes in two things, Maggie. Two things, and you're watching it. Peace through strength and trust but verify. So this won't be concluded until, unlike Bill Clinton and Madeleine Albright,
CJ, almost every single president in the post 9/11 era, as well as some additional modern presidents, including Herbert Walker and Bill Clinton, have exercised powers unilaterally to bomb other countries or non-state actors. The question is, what is the foreign policy result? Does the United States end up safer or not safer? And the secondary question is, what's the proper role of Congress in this? I mean, the American population right now, generally polling indicates two things. They don't want us involved in forever wars, and they also do not want a nuclear Iran. And so the question is, will this be successful? Do you agree that those two things are generally true?
Yes, and I think this is a lot more successful than the surrender of Afghanistan by the previous so-called commander-in-chief. What we watched was militarily unbelievable. Have you discussed the operation?
Go ahead, Matt. Sorry, go ahead.
CJ, we're way past Afghanistan right now. What I want to know is, do you really think a president of the United States has the authority, if he's got a bad night's sleep, to go attack another country with bombs just on his own say-so, or doesn't that bother you from a democracy standpoint?
Well, we've done that 100 times.
Does it make it right?
Done what you're talking about 5 times.
That's where I'll jump in, because, facts in the history actually matters here. Brief recitation of modern American political interventions, and I just want to get my notes out so that I don't leave anybody out. Here we go. Of course, we actually had a declared war in World War II. Harry S. Truman sends U.S. forces into Korea. Ronald Reagan ordered military action in Libya, Grenada, and Lebanon. George H.W. Bush invaded Panama. Bill Clinton ordered the bombing of mostly Serbian targets during the Kosovo War. Obama joined a 2011 NATO bombing campaign against the government of Gaddafi in Libya and led a military campaign against the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. Mr. Obama also broke with this trend in 2013 September, when he decided against launching a planned strike against Syria without first seeking congressional authorization. There was not widespread support for that, and he dropped it. H.W. Bush won congressional authorization for the use of military force against Iraq in 1991, and his son George W. Bush did the same in separate requests for Afghanistan and Iraq before ordering invasions of those countries in 2001 and 2003. So, CJ, we got into it. Afghanistan under W. Mistake?
Well, this is a payback all the way back to the 70s when Iran. And who
was it? A mistake?
I think it was the day he got elected.
Okay, what I'm trying to get to here is, remember what everybody said about Iraq? Remember the big banner, mission accomplished? Do we remember this? Do we remember people talking about weapons of mass destruction and securing the region? I feel some eerie parallels here. Time will tell. 855-752-4842. Up next, if you had 3 sons in the Marines and federal law enforcement beat you to a pulp, What would you think? Would you be a little disillusioned? We'll talk about the California landscaper with three sons in the Marines that experienced just that fate at the hands of ICE agents when we return. What does it mean here in Wisconsin? 855-752-4842.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, we've had a lively discussion about the series of events that has occurred over the weekend and spilling into today in Iran. We will see what transpires over the next few hours. Donald Trump has indicated that there may be a ceasefire. Let us all pray for de-escalation and a non-nuclear Iran. I think that is in the world's best interests as we move forward. Matt, we've been talking about the impact here in Wisconsin and the concern that many of our friends and family who have people, friends serving. I just had a friend return from the Mideast literally last week. I was texting with her. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you're home. Matt, you also had a story to share on this point.
Yeah, as soon as the news broke about Trump's bombing, I was on Facebook, and one of my Facebook friends said, oh, my God, my son is over there at one of the military bases. And that just kind of took my breath away. So, you know, my heart goes out to any military family who has a loved one in potential harm's way still.
Including folks working in the diplomatic service and in the State Department, anyone that is over in that region, the world. And our friend CJ mentioned, you know, the Afghanistan withdrawal. And clearly that was problematic in a lot of ways. And I wanted to also point out what we've been hearing is that the State Department was not, frankly, well informed that this was about to occur. Had Iran acted without the hat tip to American authorities when they bombed Al Udeid base in Qatar, there could have been fatalities there. In addition, Iran is notorious for kidnappings, right? And this is one of the reasons that you want the State Department to know so that they can start to prepare the logistics of evacuating or getting American citizens that are in the region out, and or dual Iranian-American folks that are in Iran out of the country so that they don't end up in one of Iran's horrible political prisons where they're known to kill people and torture folks. This is not good. We have some more breaking news this afternoon. The immigrant at the center of Judge Hannah Dugan's federal criminal case, a gentleman by the name of Eduardo Flores Ruiz, has pled guilty to having entered the U.S. illegally after being deported in 2013, according to federal court records. As part of the agreement, Flores Ruiz knowingly and voluntarily agrees to be deported following the completion of any term of imprisonment for his state criminal charges. Again, breaking news this afternoon. Credit to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for that news update, which brings me to news out of California. A man who works as a landscaper who is not here legally, but who has three American citizen sons, all whom are active duty Marines, was basically taken down and beaten by a group of ICE agents. The video is simply shocking. Matt, I wanted to get your initial reaction.
Yeah, this guy, according to his sons, has no criminal record. And we have these masked ICE guys brutalizing someone. But do we know they're from ICE? I mean, this is the thing that, you know, any vigilante can go get a jacket that says ICE on it and get a mask and go grab anyone they want and kidnap them. This is just not the way a democracy is supposed to function.
Indeed. Again, if you're just joining us, Donald Trump announcing a ceasefire between Israel and Iran. However, the debate rages about the legality of Donald Trump's action. And the through line here, folks, between watching masked ICE agents beat down a man here, not legally, but who has no criminal record, according to his three serving Marine sons, is this. What do we expect from the chief executive of this country? Do we expect the chief executive to find every loophole, every nook and cranny around the constitutional norms, the constitutional principles that limit the power of the executive, that include the first Article I branch of government, the Congress, that excludes the governors who are the commanders in chief of the National Guards? What does it mean to have a president like Donald Trump, a 34-time convicted felon, who has, in nearly 200 cases, been found to have acted unconstitutionally or otherwise illegally in his executive actions? What does it mean to have that man decide unilaterally to launch missiles into a nation state? Whatever we think of the outcome, what does it mean? What does it portend for our families here in Wisconsin if that man will deploy the National Guard in violation of federal law to have military face off against citizenry? Do you see where I'm going here? We come closer and closer and closer to the moment when a president, this president, may green light active military action against citizenry. And I don't mean patrolling because people are protesting. I mean disappearing people because they disagree. That is what concerns me this afternoon. I do pray for peace in the Middle East. I pray that the ceasefire holds. I pray that we have a much, much less dangerous Iran this afternoon than we did 48 hours ago. And may God bless every one of our active duty military serving in the region. Thank you all for being with Matt and I this afternoon. I appreciate you. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
Listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. After nearly 12 days of intense airstrikes, Israel and Iran have reportedly agreed to a ceasefire, President Trump making that announcement in a social media post. The de-escalation coming after the U.S. carried out unprecedented missile strikes inside Iran, targeting three nuclear facilities, and Iran responding today, launching missiles at a U.S. base in Qatar. Those missiles were intercepted, the U.S. says, and there were no casualties. ABC's Christian Cordero has more on the terms of the ceasefire, expected to begin in less than 6 hours.
President Trump announcing that Iran will initiate the first 12-hour ceasefire. Israel will follow with the second 12-hour ceasefire. And after that initial 24 hours, the war will officially be declared ended, in the president's words.
President Trump, in a post, went on to praise both Israel and Iran. He says for having the stamina, courage, and intelligence to end what should be called the 12-day war. This is ABC News.